Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for a Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Dr. Dawson Church. He is the Executive Director of the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare and the author of the new edition manual of the Emotional Freedom Techniques, also known as EFT. Dr. Church and I will be discussing the history of EFT and how it has been successfully used to remediate PTSD in veterans and other traumatized groups. Good morning,
Hi,
Dr.
Johnny.
Church. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me this morning. The EFT manual is an excellent read, so congratulations.
I appreciate your kind words. Thank you.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, I was always intrigued by the phenomenon of healing, even as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Some people obviously were very into their ailments and disease-prone. Others seemed to have naturally happy dispositions and were very healthy. And so I was just intrigued by the differences between people, especially the happy ones. I must confess, Johnny, I was not a very happy child myself. When I was a teenager, I was clinically depressed, and it took me a long time to shift myself into a happier frame of mind. But I began to study happy people. I noticed there are people who are much happier than others. What do they do? What do they say? What do they read? Who do they associate with? And I gradually began to emulate their practices. And finally, when I got my degrees and I graduated, I began to go into this intensively and also try and promote the practices that were the most effective. So I got into energy medicine, I got into meditation, and then I began to realize at a certain point that these practices had tremendous potential to affect us physiologically. So in the 80s and 90s, meditation was thought to be a good thing to do, but there wasn't a grasp yet that it had powerful physiological effects. But now we're at the point technologically where we can study the genome. So we can look at which genes are turned on, which genes are turned off in response to various influences. And so now a lot of my work is looking at hormones like cortisol, DHEA, adrenaline, stress hormones, and how these shift in response to these seemingly just feel-good practices, like a really good psychotherapy session, like a meditation session, like even connection with nature, that can also have the same effect. And then with my book, The EFT Manual, which just came out, I'm combining what I think are some of the most potent of these practices in ways that are easy to apply in your life. And the research now shows that when you apply these kinds of things in your life and you resolve the emotional stress that most of us live under, that it literally is turning genes on and turning genes off, turning off unhelpful genes like cancer genes, genes we associate with cancer and heart disease, and turning on genes we associate with positive effects in the body, like boosting your immunity and your immune system, suppressing inflammation, and promoting healthy aging, or having the effect of reducing the rate at which we age. So now we have these scientific tools to actually peer into this fundamental layer of molecular biology, the genome, and see what effect these kinds of seemingly what was thought to be fringe practices 20, 30 years ago, like meditation, like EFT, we're now able to look below the level of the obvious and find these having profound effects at the level of our physiology, our body, and ourselves.
Well, that's fantastic. Basically, in a nutshell, you are saying that we are having greater awareness, the fact that we can actually control these activities of ourselves within our body, ourselves, right?
You have a tremendous amount of influence over the activity of your cells. And opinions vary, but the consensus is that somewhere around 15% of our genome, 15%, 15% of our genome is fixed. And that's characteristics like I have gray eyes, I have brown hair. Mm-hmm. Those are fixed genetic characteristics. But there are many of our genes which are turned on or off in response to things that happen outside of us or even our thoughts. And mm-hmm. that turns out to be the vast majority of the genome. So, for example, if I'm in the habit of being, say if I was a depressed person and thinking depressed thoughts, there are enormous numbers of physiological processes that happen in my body. And we now know from longitudinal studies that depressed people die much sooner than people who aren't depressed. We know that mm-hmm. pessimists die sooner. We know that pessimists have worse health outcomes than optimists. We know that being happy, essentially, resolving childhood trauma, results in changes in the genome. So mm-hmm. it's now obvious that all of these things are affecting us, and we have so much control over those. I have control, like this morning I meditated, and I do that every morning. Mm-hmm. That's totally under my control. This morning I didn't have an hour to meditate. I only had 10 minutes, but I made the most of that 10 minutes. So I know that that's having an effect. And so that's what I say, my attitudes, the way I treat my wife, my children, my team members, what the thoughts I think. I can choose to think happy thoughts. I can choose to think helpful thoughts, positive, uplifting thoughts. And even when you have something, like I was talking to a friend of mine at the gym yesterday, and this man has been in a lawsuit with other members of his family over an inheritance. Yeah. And I said to him, how will you see this? How will you perceive this 10 years from now? And he went from being all worried and concerned about the lawsuit and immersed in his misery to laughing. And he said, 10 years from now, even a year from now, I won't give this a second thought. It'll be part of my past, part of my history. That's a way to think about things. You can choose. The picture might be the same. You may have been abused as a child. You may have had a miserable childhood. You may have had tragedy in your life. But there are people who choose to put that picture, that negative picture, in a positive frame. And they say things like, even though I had that terrible childhood trauma, I survived. Or even though I was wounded in a car accident or in war, I'm through it now, and I still have my thing so much to be grateful for in my life. So choosing those thoughts of gratitude or perspective, that's a frame we put around the picture, and that frame is all up to us. We can't always change the pictures of our lives, but we choose what frame to hold them in, and that is something that can have a profound effect on our health and our longevity.
I agree, totally. One of the things that I use recently, actually, with my dance partner and teaching associate is that whenever I meet her, I would ask her, what may I do to contribute to your happiness today?
Wow. I love
it. What has happened is that I noticed that something happens within me because I got to be happy myself. And, of course, if she is not having a great start in the morning, so to speak, that question sort of perks her up to be in the happiness mode.
Well, I got to tell you, Johnny, the best thing you can do probably for her to contribute to her happiness is to be happy yourself.
She is a happy person, don't get me wrong. That's why I use the word in terms of what may I do to contribute to your happiness today. She is by nature a very happy person. In addition to that, I'm just sort of putting myself in the position that what else can I do?
And what I'm saying is that what you can do is you can be happy because if you are miserable, then you are in no position to contribute to her happiness. Only
Precisely.
If you are happy yourself. So when we're happy, when we're balanced, when we're loving, like for example, we had a situation here in my office recently this week where somebody really made a serious mistake and it caused a lot of problems. So we could have got into a place of anger, recrimination, blame, fault finding, but instead we just used compassionate communication and immersed that person in love. And that had far more of a positive effect. So, as we are putting ourselves in those positive frames of mind, it spreads out and affects the people around us. In the Framingham Heart Study, which is this long study that's been going on in a town called Framingham, Massachusetts, since the 1960s, I mean, 50 years of research into these people in Framingham,
mm-hmm.
and they find that if you are negative, depressed, and in a bad mental state,
mm-hmm.
you affect the people around you, not
mm-hmm.
surprisingly. But they also found that the people around you affect the people around them.
Right.
So even people you don't even know are being affected by your bad mood and your negative behavior. But when you're positive, when you're happy, when you're kind, mm-hmm. when you're compassionate, when you make those choices that are healthy
right.
and supportive of others, it affects the people around you. They affect the people around them. And then those people, two layers out, affect another group of people, three layers out. So
mm-hmm.
it is powerful in the whole world to have a positive person in it.
That's very true. Please share with us the brief history of EFT.
EFT is also called Emotional Freedom Techniques, EFT, or tapping, because
mm-hmm.
part of the EFT routine is that you tap with your fingertips on 12 acupuncture points. And acupuncture has been used, of course, in China and elsewhere. And we can trace acupuncture back by various pieces of historical evidence for at least 6,000 years. So it's a really, really old technique. But it turns out that when you apply pressure with your fingertips to acupuncture points, it also has a significant effect. So you don't need needles. So just acupressure is as effective as acupuncture. And so EFT combines acupressure with two forms of Western psychotherapy, and those therapies are exposure therapy and cognitive therapy. I think these are really good psychotherapy methods. And what we find is if you take the best of cognitive and exposure therapy and then add in acupressure, this oriental technique, that the process of transformation, of psychological transformation, is dramatically hastened. For example, we've done three randomized controlled trials of people with phobias,
mm-hmm.
and people have phobias of things like animals, like bats, snakes, spiders, and so on. People have all kinds of phobias, and we've done three randomized controlled trials at various institutions, and in
mm-hmm.
all of those controlled trials, they found that people recovered from their phobias in usually a half hour or less and recovered
mm-hmm.
permanently. So in one report, for example, on TV, they had a reporter who had had a severe spider phobia her whole life, and after just a few minutes of EFT, she's actually holding a huge hairy tarantula in her hand and is saying, wow, this thing's really cool, and it's these hairs are so soft, and blah, 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 blah. Whereas before she couldn't even be in the room with a spider before that. So EFT is very effective at things like phobias. Also depression and anxiety. We find that people with depression and anxiety get their symptoms improved by about half after they've
mm-hmm.
had a group EFT experience. So it's effective for depression and anxiety, but it's phenomenally effective for post-traumatic stress disorder. So we're now working with lots and lots of PTSD victims, and we've worked with people in Rwanda who were victims of the genocide there. We work with people in Congo who are caught up in a civil war. We worked in the U.S. with rape victims, people who were raped when they were children. We worked
mm-hmm.
with lots and lots of war veterans, Vietnam veterans, Iraq veterans, Afghanistan veterans, and we find that in an average of six sessions, their PTSD symptoms drop from that high life-disturbing level to normal. So in
mm-hmm.
just six sessions of 1 hour treatments, they drop way down. And the effects of this, Johnny, on their lives are just amazing. There's a documentary that was made of this work. We have all these Vietnam veterans mostly, but
mm-hmm.
a few Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
and Iraq veterans saying how they got their lives back. Their families now are no longer afraid of them. They have been able to find stability in their work, in their money life, all
mm-hmm.
kinds of positive improvements as a result of recovering from PTSD. So EFT has a lot of research behind it, and what we find is that it lowers levels of your main stress hormones. So cortisol, adrenaline are your two main stress hormones, and what happens when you tap, levels of those hormones drop dramatically. So you're becoming you feel much calmer, you feel inner peace, your levels of those hormones drop, and the improvement is permanent. So EFT is really useful for all of these things. And we are just so thrilled to see people who've been suffering from anxiety, depression, and other problems like that get their lives back again.
That's fantastic. You are applying pressures, in this case, acupressure. Acupuncture sort of evolved to acupressure, and now you're talking about tapping the application of EFT. How many EFT practitioners are there in the U.S. and worldwide?
Yeah, the numbers are truly startling. We did a search last June, and I asked my web team, I said, how many people searched on Google and other search engines for terms like EFT tapping, EFT therapy, and so on in the last month? And we found that in the month of June that 9.2 million people had searched for those terms worldwide. And they were searching in India, they were searching in China, they were searching in Australia, they were searching all over the world, not just in the U.S. and in Europe.
Right.
And so lots of people know about tapping, search for tapping, and have tried tapping, but there's a core of people who are certified in EFT and know the whole routine really well. And those are called clinical EFT practitioners. And there are about 1,000 of them, and they're spread between the U.S., a lot of them in Europe, a lot of them in Australia. A lot of them work remotely as well. So we have one guy in Bahrain, for example. Excuse me. But the guy in Bahrain is working with clients in Singapore, working with clients in Australia, working with clients in Malaysia. So geographically, they're all over the place. And you can do EFT quite successfully by Skype or by phone. So, it doesn't have to be in person. We did a study comparing EFT done in person in the office with EFT done by phone. And we found that it was better if you were in the office with a practitioner, but it was still very effective done long distance as well.
You are channeling the energy meridians within yourselves, so you can be coached to do that over the phone, or in this case, through Skype and so forth.
Yes, and having your own emotional body functional is a key part of EFT. You can't be useful to somebody else if you yourself are compromised. And so we put a lot of emphasis on self-care. For example, people go through our clinical EFT certification program. There's a whole module on self-care, taking care of yourself, getting supervision, having people look at your work and make sure you stay on track, taking care of your own energy imbalances, because there's the great ancient Greek myth of Chiron, the wounded healer. And that idea of the wounded healer is very prominent in not just from Greek mythology, but culturally, that people who are, the big example that happened this last week is Robin Williams, the comic who committed suicide. So here's his comedian, he's making millions of people laugh. So this ability to bring happiness to so many other people, and yet having this fatal wound of being unable to make himself happy. So that whole idea of the wounded healer is an interesting motif we see throughout human mythology and consciousness. And so it's important that if you're offering healing to others, you really take care of your own healing. You stay in balance. You stay in balance financially. You stay in balance in your work-life ratio and so many other things. And it's hard, as you know, Johnny, it's hard to do that in today's busy world, but it's especially important if you're a practitioner.
Sure. Are there governmental agencies or professional organizations that are currently monitoring the practice of EFT?
Some do, and like, for example, it's fairly widespread in Britain's National Health Service. Quite a few hospitals there use it. I think there are maybe 8 major hospitals there using it when I last took a look. But one of the really frustrating things for me is that the Veterans Administration here in the U.S., the VA, has fought EFT tooth and nail. They just the last secretary, Eric Shinseki, who had to resign after the scandal over the fake waiting list for veteran treatment.
Right.
He personally deeply opposed EFT, and we had about 20 congressmen at one point or another writing to him, advocating for EFT, advocating for veterans, and Shinseki just completely stonewalled any adoption of EFT by the VA. So it's used by a lot of individual VA therapists. I've trained dozens of them, actually hundreds of them myself. So there are lots of VA therapists using it unofficially under the radar, but it is not approved by the VA yet. We're hoping it'll change, but these big institutions can be really, really hard to shift. There was one study done by the U.S. government in 2000, and they looked at medical innovations, breakthroughs in treatment, that things would make things better for patients. And they found the results were very discouraging. They found that it takes about 17 years for a medical improvement, a medical advance, to actually reach patients. So 17 years from its discovery to where it's being actually used in hospitals by doctors, by nurses, and only 30% of medical improvements even get there. The other 70% are lost. There was another study that found that, almost 90% of medical advances are lost and only 10% actually reach patients. So we have this, it's just a really wacky system. If you were being asked to use a 17-year-old computer with only 30% of the capability that that computer could possess, you'd say, that's crazy, I want the latest technology. We've designed a system where technologically we have the best smartphones, the best tablets, the best laptops, but when it comes to medicine, we have a system that entrenches resistance to change, and medical advances take a long time to get from the lab to the patient. So I have no real solution to that problem. I don't know how to change it, other than just keep on doing what I can do, which is research and advocacy. But you essentially, when you go to a hospital today, are getting 17-year-old technology, and you're only getting a third of it. So EFT is accepted some places, but gatekeepers like Eric Shinseki, again, fought tooth and nail to keep it out of the VA.
You have several success stories embedded in your manual. They're very, very interesting stories. And actually, in all essence, they are wonderful stories of success. People that have experienced tremendous breakthrough in their challenges by using EFT.
And EFT really got going from stories of people using it and reporting extraordinary successes. And, I mean, some of them are absolutely amazing. Like, there's one woman called Helen, who I'm using her real name because she's allowed us to use it with her permission. And she had terminal cancer. She had stage 4 terminal breast cancer. And she was given only a few months to live, I think 3 or 4 months to live by her doctors. And she had just discovered EFT. And rather than going through chemotherapy and radiation, which had a very small chance of success anyway, she just said, I'm not going to torture my body that way. I'm just going to focus on my emotional healing so I can have a good death. So she began to tap, do EFT, and a few months later she went back to her doctor and she was completely cancer-free. So there are these astonishing stories of recovery from multiple sclerosis, from a lot from fibromyalgia. I just finished working on a book called EFT for fibromyalgia, and a lot of stories of fibromyalgia. So these seemingly incurable diseases like fibromyalgia, there are successes with EFT. It's not to say that everybody who has cancer, everybody who has fibromyalgia will recover. A lot depends on other factors, how far advanced it is, whether the person has the right tools, attitude. If you don't have a positive attitude, if you don't believe in the possibility of healing, then you can do EFT or anything else, and it may not have an effect. So all of those things affect it. But the EFT world is full of stories of people who have recovered from even serious diseases with EFT, and it's just the manual is full of these stories. In fact, I have the first couple of chapters. I have a few dozen stories like this of people who have these miraculous recoveries, and you just read them, and you're so moved, Johnny, by because it's not me telling you. Like, I'm a researcher, I can tell you, I can give you all the facts and figures, and that's medically meaningful. But when you hear the story of Helen, or hear the story of somebody whose parent had Alzheimer's, or hear the story of somebody whose kid was totally disruptive in school because of ADHD, or a married couple, like we do, I do a lot of online courses, and one of them is for couples, and you hear these couples who came into our course. They were on the verge of divorce, and then they learned EFT. They learned to release all of the old emotional energy in their stuck patterns, and then they broke through. So there are all these stories like that, and I translate each one, each piece of data in my mind, into the story of a Helen, or into the story of someone whose life has been affected by it. And it's so personally gratifying to hear the kinds of shifts, to hear the relief in people's voices and in their words as they realize, I don't have to suffer. And I think each of those stories represents somebody who would have been suffering maybe for the rest of their lives with that problem, and now suddenly they have emotional freedom, which is why we call it EFT, or emotional freedom techniques.
That's fascinating. A lot of times when people are looking for solutions, I guess it's always in the field of health. But in this case, EFT is being able to be applied to relationships, like you have just mentioned, work-related issues, money, and, of course, spirituality. What are the steps involved in applying these techniques?
Well, first of all, you need to learn the basic form of EFT, which is very simple. It takes a few minutes to learn. It's called the basic recipe. It's just like baking a cake. If you just do these simple things, learn these 12 acupressure points, and actually in the EFT manual, we have EFT on a page. So at the back of the manual, we have EFT on one page. It's just that simple to learn. So the first thing is learn the basic recipe. Now, obviously, someone who has a disease like fibromyalgia has very different needs from somebody who wants to use it for something like making money. So in the EFT manual, I have examples of both. I have a story, for example, of one stock trader who was moderately successful trading stocks, but after he learned EFT, his performance in his portfolio just dramatically improved because he was now tapping for his fears. They say that in Wall Street, the two predominant emotions driving stock trading are fear and greed. Mm-hmm. So if you've tapped away your fear and tapped away your greed, then you make rational, logical decisions about which stocks to buy and sell, and you aren't being swept up in the herd. So so the way he would apply EFT is very different from the way the person would who has fibromyalgia. But all of us have childhood traumas, and those hold us back. We have stories about our limitations. We say, I can't do this because I can't trade stocks because of this. I can't get over this disease because it's genetic. I can't. My parents were like this. I'm trapped by circumstances. We all these stories, and they're often based on childhood traumas. So EFT is simply superb at releasing the emotional energy trapped in those childhood traumas. So you saw the picture, but now it's seen in a positive frame. And for spiritual growth, for example, one limitation might be the one I was saying about today in my own life. I don't have time to meditate. So think about, I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time generally, or I'm just too overwhelmed by my life. So you tune in to the childhood experiences that gave you that unhelpful belief. That belief is sitting there in your head, and it's really not helping your wellness or your happiness. So you tune into those experiences, you tap on them, they reduce in their emotional intensity, and you then realize, gee, you know, I may not have an hour every morning to meditate, but I do have 10 minutes. So you start to do those things that help your health and well-being. So you remove the obstacles to your financial well-being. You remove the obstacles to your career success. You remove the obstacles to your marital success. So you aren't reenacting the same old patterns over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Almost every week we get testimonials from people who've done my online relationship skills course. It's called Tapping Deep Intimacy. And like one couple, we have them, actually we were filming this, videotaping this in the course, and we have this amazing session with them. And he came into the course with a pornography addiction and impotence. So their sex life was terrible. He wasn't turned on by his wife anymore. And his wife had so much anger, she was like a volcano about to explode. And so I worked with both of them. I worked on his issues, worked on her issues, in just one EFT session. And we have these amazing video testimonials from them afterwards saying, when we came to your course, we were about to get divorced. We thought it was hopeless. We tried everything. And we left feeling like newlyweds. And they just rekindled the passion, the romance. So when you start to take care of those early childhood traumas, those early childhood patterns that are holding you back, suddenly your sex life improves, your financial life improves, your work life improves, your relationships improve with your colleagues. You generally are less stressed. And that's what EFT is dealing with. It's dealing with the stress component, the stress piece of all of this. And that stress affects every part of your life. So when you reduce the stress, then every part of your life tends to improve.
You mentioned about EFT being used to treat PTSD. How is that applied? Because those experiences, I guess, are not childhood memories, but things that you've encountered, say, within the last year, 2 years or so. In a way, it's traumatized people.
Yes, that's a very good question, Johnny. And what the research shows is that there's a difference between people who come back from combat and one of the intriguing research questions has been those that get PTSD and those that don't. Like those, we've had about 2.4 million Americans deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq over the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So 2.4 million people, and research shows that about a quarter of them, around a quarter of them, will have PTSD. So that's maybe 500,000, 600,000 people with PTSD. But why did the other 1.5 million come back and have the same experiences in the same location, same circumstances, and not develop PTSD? The answer turns out to be a very interesting, nuanced combination of psychology and biology. There are certain genes which predispose people to PTSD. So if you have these genes, you're more likely to get PTSD. But these genes are usually dormant. And only if you're actually exposed to trauma or violence do those genes turn on. So part of it is genetic, but it requires exposure to trauma to turn those genes on. The other part seems to be strongly linked to childhood. So even though two soldiers coming back from Iraq, for example, or Afghanistan, may have had the same experiences, the one that had the most childhood trauma is much more likely to develop PTSD than the one that didn't have childhood trauma. So childhood trauma really affects you, and downstream, down the road, later on in your life, there's going to be often a big effect from having been traumatized as a child. So the reason I'll give you another example. I worked with a woman last week on one of our live coaching calls, and she had grief about her husband who died 2 years ago. And she was saying, how do I get over this grief? It seems as though it'll never go away. It never gets any less. I'm grieving him every day. So you think that it was about the husband. And I just assumed it wasn't. I began to ask her about early losses. Because what happened is that when she was young, she was 4.5, her parents had another child. So she had a baby sister. And she was so looking forward to the baby sister. And then right after the baby was born, her parents sent her away to live with her grandmother for a few weeks. They said it was too much to have two kids in the house.
Right.
So suddenly, this thing that she is so looking forward to, the birth of her sister, becomes an experience of separation and loss from her sister and her parents. And so she's had this tremendously big emotional blow early on. We tapped about that. We tapped then about a boyfriend she had in high school, and the boyfriend gave her mixed messages and was cheating on her. He was cheating on her. So another experience of loss and betrayal. We tapped and did EFT on those two things, and guess what begins to happen to the death of her husband? What's happened up to this point is that the death of her husband, even though it's the most recent thing, is just the surrogate for all of the griefs and losses she suffered all throughout her life. And now it's triggered those. It's so now she has this whole complex of bad experiences, which are all welded together, fused together in her mind. So we go back to the earliest one, which is the birth of her sister. We do EFT on that, and suddenly, when the emotional intensity around that reduces, everything else in her life starts to shift. So we have this part of our emotional brain. Our brain essentially has three components to it, our hind brain, our old reptilian brain, our midbrain, limbic system, our mammalian brain, and our primate brain, our prefrontal cortex above that. So these three brains, and the emotional brain, the midbrain, the mammalian brain, that brain is all about emotion. And parts of that brain are looking for any experience today that resembles a threat from the past. And so what happens is when you have today's grief or today's PTSD or today's trauma, that if you also had something a lot like that when you were 2 or 4 or 7, then you're much more likely to get traumatized today, as that emotional midbrain makes a match between the combat now in Afghanistan and the death of a sibling when you were 2, or even being not picked for the basketball team when you were 11. Those things can leave lasting emotional scars on people. So it's a complex picture. There are genes involved, but childhood, not even serious abuse, even mild neglect, is we're seeing now, can really affect people's later level or predisposition to PTSD.
You're saying that our cells, our body cells, are actually continually being bombarded by experiences that we have in life, because life is a journey. And what happens here is that somewhere along the line in the journey, something may happen that may, in all actuality, may not necessarily be the heaviest thing in terms of weight, but it's enough. It's like the straw that tips the camel's back, so to speak, that causes you to go into this sort of anxiety. And then that's when you need to go back and take all these little weights off along the way.
Yes, and in the EFT manual, I talk about some experiments done in the 1970s and onward, and this is really interesting and also a little scary. Experiments were by a therapist called Edward Tronick, and they're called the Still Face Experiments, and I describe them in the EFT manual, and that's why I said that it doesn't take abuse, it only takes neglect to trigger trauma. And Tronick took very young children, like 6 months old, 9 months old, around a year old. And a lot of these are on video. And in the EFT manual, I give you some links to some stories and also some of these videos. And these babies were sitting usually in a chair or a high chair that's sort of propped up, because they usually couldn't walk before, this is before the age of being able to walk themselves. And the mother or the father is simply told to keep their face expressionless. And that's why these are called the still face experiments. And normally mothers and fathers are interacting with their babies pre-verbally in all kinds of ways. They're touching them, they're smiling at them, they're making sounds, they're talking to them. Their faces are very mobile. And so what Tronick did is he said, just keep your face completely passive. Don't have any expression on your face. What happened when the parents got this instruction was interesting. The infants responded to the still face of the parent by trying to elicit a response. The infants would wave their hands, they would smile, they would gurgle, they would coo, they would make noises. They were clearly trying to elicit an emotional response from the parent with a still face. When the parent kept their face still for a few more seconds, the infant would then up the ante. The infant would then try harder to attract the parent's attention by, for example, doing things they knew the parent liked to see or liked to witness. Then the parent's face didn't change. The parents were told to keep their faces totally impassive. And what happens after usually around less than a minute, sometimes more than a minute, just around a minute or so, is the infant starts to cry. And the infant actually loses control of its autonomic nervous system. So it begins to flop around. It can't coordinate its movements. Not only is it crying, its emotional regulation system of its in its body completely becomes disorganized. Mm-hmm. So the startling thing about these still phase experiments is they show us that it doesn't take being hit or hurt or verbally abused as a child to cause trauma to an infant. All it takes is a still face. All it takes is the withdrawal of parental approval. And many of us went through that. Many of us did have our parents use their approval as a way to control us. And so we grew up this way with our behavior shaped by parental approval or the withdrawal of approval. So the shocking thing about those experiments is that they showed it doesn't take some kind of overt abuse to produce emotional trauma in an infant. It takes only the withdrawal of positive regard to do that. And that's, unfortunately, a condition from which most of us have suffered at some point in our lives. So I'd really encourage you to look into those still face experiments and then go and work on issues in your life. If you know you had a childhood trauma, if you know you had a lack of childhood attention, use EFT. We have some specialized EFT techniques. There are 48 EFT techniques, and they're all described in the EFT manual. And use EFT for the early childhood ones because there are ways that are very, very effective, even if you don't remember the trauma. So you probably don't remember what happened when you were a year old or 2 years old. But there are some specialized techniques that even in those circumstances will help you recover.
What I like about the manual is that you don't have to read from page one till the end. You have mentioned the fact that you can basically go to specific areas of the manual that best applies to you at this moment in time. And that's wonderful. You have a tremendous amount of wonderful stories of success, and that's a certain amount of validation that we all need to make sure that we're moving forward. One of the chapters that I really like in the book is you're talking about habits. I guess in this case, what will be the greatest challenge one faces in achieving success using EFT?
Yeah, and Johnny, you hit the nail on the head right there because it is necessary to establish an actual habit. And in psychology, we call that conditioning. So just the way we've all heard about Ivan Pavlov and his dogs, where the dogs were taught to salivate at the sound of a bell, we have many, many conditioned behaviors that we reenact in our lives. We think we have free will. We think we're acting because of this, that, or the next thing. We have all these reasons for the way we act, why we do things. But it's startling that most of it is just old conditioning. So how do you change those habits? How do you change maybe a lifetime of habit? It's also compounded by the fact that there's this phenomenon I talk about in the EFT manual called neural plasticity. Mm-hmm. And that's the discovery in the 1990s that when you use a neural circuit in your brain, you start to create new brain cells along that neural circuit. And this helps us if we're doing something like learning a new language, learning a new skill, in a new career, in a new relationship. So when you're learning French, you are then increasing the neural connections in the part of your brain that handles the use of that language. So what happens is you strengthen those neural connections, and it's very hard at first, and after a while it becomes easy because you've built up all this new neural wiring in your brain around saying the new words, around understanding the concepts, around the grammar, vocabulary, and the other components of the language. So this phenomenon of neural plasticity is very helpful to you when you're learning a new skill, when you're in a new relationship, when you're learning a useful life skill. But it's very unhelpful to you in the areas of your life where you're enacting old conditioned behaviors that don't help you, that don't serve you, even that hurt you. So you're this bundle of conditioning, just reenacting all these old conditioned behaviors. How do you break that conditioning? EFT is one of the fastest tools I found that can be used to break conditioning. And we find that even, for example, a Vietnam veteran who's had a certain nightmare for 40 years since Vietnam, and this nightmare is a recurring dream, wakes him up in the middle of the night, terrified, screaming, use EFT, and very quickly often in just a session or two, you break the association between the conditioned response of having the nightmare and having the stress response in the body, and the nightmares go away. So it's really, we've so often heard from Vietnam veterans things like, after my first EFT session, that night I had my first full night's sleep since Vietnam. You mm-hmm. break that conditioning, and then it tends to stay broken thereafter. So we are very conditioned. We have a lot of habits that that are handy for us, that work well for us in our days. We have a lot of habits in our lives that don't serve us. And with EFT, you want to break the conditioned behaviors that are hurting you. The ways you have of being with other relationship partners, for example, every man, every woman has ways they are with the opposite sex that don't serve them, that don't work for them. How do you break those habits and install mm-hmm. healthy ones? And EFT is one of the best ways I've found of quickly breaking the old habits and establishing new ones.
Fantastic. Is EFT for everyone?
Interesting question. No. Now, you may ask, why is a scientist mm-hmm. who's written a book called The EFT Manual telling you it's not for everyone? Mm-hmm. There are exceptions, and EFT is part of a whole big world of energy medicine, and there are lots of techniques in energy medicine. EFT is very fast, very portable, very easy to learn, and there are much more elaborate systems that are harder to learn, and that's why I focus on EFT. But there are people, for example, who I found who are too emotionally fragile. I'll give you an example. A woman in one of my live workshops, we do over 100 live workshops a year, so I meet mm-hmm. lots of people. I work with lots of people one-on-one in the workshops. It's just great to bring a person up front, work with them in front of a whole group of other people, and see them have a breakthrough. But in one workshop, we had a lady who seemed to be doing good. She would do some work with EFT, and she'd get relief. But then in an hour or two or the next day, she'd be back into the same emotional pattern. And her pattern was helplessness. She was basically had a feeling of helplessness. And she was just going over and over and over the same ground, seeming to make improvement, but then falling back. And after the workshop, I took her aside and said, you know, I'm probably going to get, you know, some criticism from the EFT community for saying this, but I don't think that now is the right time in your life for EFT for you. What you need is to build up the positive attributes in your life, the positive support system that can really help you first. Going back and diving into your past, going back to your childhood trauma, you can do that later. Right now, you've got to build up the parts of yourself, your self-esteem, your self-love, your sense of security, your sense of belonging in the world. Those are the things to do first. And so she actually went off and took my advice, and I had my assistant phone her about 6 months later. Mm-hmm. She said that she'd used another method I was recommending, and she had used the other method, and that had really helped her improve that sense of self-sufficiency, and that was what you have to do first. So there are people like that, yeah, for whom either all, you know, or another example is somebody who's on a drug. Now, mm-hmm. the drugs are dangerous and harmful, but some drugs might be really necessary. So maybe you need to be on EFT and a certain drug. Maybe you need to do EFT along with energy medicine or with another therapy. So it's not a panacea. It's not for everybody. It's good for stress reduction, and that's a part of most problems. But there are some issues, some areas, they're rare, but mm-hmm. why I think use something else first before you delve into that massive childhood wounding that might be overwhelming initially to deal with.
Very interesting. You also mentioned about EFT helping in sports and business performances. You did mention a little bit about the stockbroker using your method, the EFT that is, techniques. How about sports?
There are lots of examples of people using it in sports. I recently interviewed several members of a football team called the Tennessee Titans, a National mm-hmm. Football League team, and there are a lot of those guys using EFT. A lot of professional golfers use EFT. A lot of professional baseballers are using EFT. On the ESPN Sports Network, there have been several times now when the cameras have pan to the dugout, there you see some baseball player tapping on himself before he begins. If he's using this in sports, and the results are really, really profound. I did a study, a randomized controlled trial, with the men's and women's basketball team at Oregon State University a few years back, and we divided them into two groups at random. One group got a pep talk from a coach. One group got a 15-minute EFT treatment, and the difference, we measured their free throws before and after. Mm-hmm. Free throws are interesting. They have to stand at the free throw line. They focus on the net. They then make their free throw, and either that lands in the basket or it doesn't. And free throws are critical to your performance in basketball. And some players just can't do them. They get all nervous, they get upset, they get stressed, and they'll miss like 7 out of 10 free throws. Others are like free throw machines. They will just throw 10 out of 10 every time. It's amazing. So we divided these two groups. One group got EFT, again, just a quarter of an hour treatment. The other one got a placebo. And the group that got EFT, the difference when we measured them afterwards was a difference of 38% in their free throw ability. So massive improvement in the EFT group compared to the control group. And we've now done this in several other sports. We did one study in England. A colleague of mine did one on soccer free kicks, found very much the same thing. So the research is showing that people improve dramatically in their skills after EFT. And there's a new book coming out, actually, called EFT for Sports Performance. Mm-hmm. And it's written by somebody very near and dear to me. It's written by my niece. And she was a three-time national champion, U.S. national champion, rhythmic gymnast. And she's written this very moving book showing how EFT has really helped her overcome many of her inner problems with sports using tapping. And there are, again, probably maybe 60 or 70 stories of athletes there, anything from pro golfers to professional baseballers who've used EFT and found it really improved their performance.
Fantastic. What would you like for the readers to gain in reading the EFT manual?
Johnny, my bigger goal is human suffering. I just hate to see people suffer from things that are preventable. Some suffering is not preventable. There are some tragedies. There are some problems we just can't solve. But the most of our suffering is caused by our minds. It's caused by our thoughts. And so why have somebody tortured? Why have somebody the victim of their own habits, their own mental habits, their own ways of sabotaging themselves? So that's what I want to affect. And so by writing the manual and by teaching all these live workshops, my focus is on giving people the practical tools to quickly alleviate that suffering. So I just love seeing people break through from darkness into light, from being trapped in suffering to feeling happy and free and getting their lives back, being able to relate to their loved ones, to their parents, their children, their spouses, in presence, in the present moment, not sabotaged, not chained, not shackled by all of the bad things of their past. So that's the other thing. The other real motivation of mine is to kindle people's self-love. We tend to be such harsh self-critics, and much of that is inherited from criticisms we heard as children. So tune in to the voices in your head that tell you, I can't do that, I can't be that, I can't make that goal. We have so much self-criticism. And with EFT, we have you go in there, find those early critics, do the tapping, do the stress reduction, and release all those voices to allow the voices of, I can, I'm good enough, I'm loved, I'm okay, I deserve to be here, letting all those positive voices predominate. So those are my motivations, is to reduce suffering, and then once suffering is removed, to allow us to be easy on ourselves, to love ourselves, to encourage ourselves, to let the good in, to to revel, to allow ourselves to inhabit those good spaces in our minds and our bodies, to feel good physically, to feel good in our bodies, to feel good in our emotions, to find inner peace. And all of these things are really within our grasp. They're much easier to find than you might suspect. But the first thing to do is to find those childhood traumas and release them. While we're still conditioned by those childhood traumas, try to think positive, try to motivate ourselves, try to set our goals. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a wound before you've cleaned out the wound. You have to go in there and clean out all the yucky stuff first. When you've done that, the body heals, the mind heals, the spirit heals. And the reason we have 5,000 stories on our website of healing is that it really works. People go in there, do the tapping, deal with the nasty stuff in the wound, and then they heal, and they find this incredible joy that just naturally bursts through once you've dealt with those underlying issues that hold us back from our good and from our happiness.
Fantastic. Where can someone go to buy the manual, get more information about you, and, of course, connect with EFT Universe?
The place to get the manual is on any online bookseller, and you'll find it's everywhere. And they've always got a whole new batch of stock because it's been selling so fast. It was out of stock for a while, but it just came back into stock last week. And then to find out more about me, to find a practitioner, to download the free mini manual, which is a light version of the manual, you go to my website, DawsonGift.com. It's my name, DawsonGift, DawsonGift.com. Go there, click on the link, you'll get a mini manual, you'll get videos of me showing how to do EFT, and you'll be trying for yourself within the first 5 minutes, and you'll literally feel the shift in your body. So that's the best website, DawsonGift.com, for the freebies. And then to buy the manual, go to any online bookseller, and they will have stock right now.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Certainly. I would recommend that, as well as EFT, you focus on the things that set you up for well-being. So I start every day not just with EFT, but also with meditation. I strongly recommend you meditate and you get in touch with your life purpose. So you live a life of purpose, so that from that still place every morning, you will find wisdom, inspiration, and passion springing. So you center yourself every single morning, and that's the first thing you do. Then you're living life from the inside out. You're living a passionate life. You're living a self-directed life. You're living a life that springs from your core. Living from your core, do that. Then, during the day, when things happen to annoy you, distract you, to pull you off your life purpose, you use EFT. You then get the best of both worlds. You get this strong, centered grounding meditation in touch with your spiritual core, and you have this wonderful stress reduction tool to use whenever life happens and knocks you off your perch. So those are the two things I strongly recommend, Johnny, as my recipe for living.
That's fantastic. Basically, incorporate EFT into your lifestyle.
Absolutely. You need both things. You need that baseline practice every morning to get you going with your day in the right direction. Then you need EFT so that when you have that problem with a work, with a coworker, when you have the traffic, whatever, you don't get pulled out of your life purpose and out of your core.
Wonderful. Dr. Church, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be discussing their latest release, Inspirational Stories About Cats and Dogs. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Dr. Church, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.